Come on, give Him praise one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Listen, last week we talked about, hallelujah, Jesus was ministering to somebody. And He always says, amen, if you let Him. Come on, if you say you let Him. You go to hell with me tonight. Come on, amen. I know you got filled with turkey and stuff, but you can shout it out with me tonight. Amen. So I really felt that I just wanted to add this part because I don't know why, but sometimes God will stick something to me. It really doesn't seem like it has anything to do with what I'm talking about. But whenever I can't stop without saying, I got to say it. And this is what the Lord said as Jesus went. Remember last week we talked about how the woman got in line. She butt in line and she took hold of Jesus. She touched Him. She was bleeding because she had some issues. We all got some issues. And the only way they get resolved is touching Jesus. I want you to know that the only way is touching Jesus. It's coming in contact with Him. Touching means to come in contact. And sometimes some things keep you out of contact. They keep you out of that place from pressing in. Sometimes it's shame. Sometimes it's doubt. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's offenses. Whatever those things are, sometimes they keep you from touching and they keep you in the issue and not getting resolution from it. Come on, amen. I need some resolution. Come on, I need things solved in my life. Amen. Come on, amen. And I serve the problem solver. So whatever problem I got, He's the one that's in solve it. Amen. So no matter what it is, no matter what it feels like, there's always hope. Tell someone there's hope. See, I love to know, Randy, there's hope. And I stand every day when I arise in a new day, I know there's hope. It might feel disappointing sometimes. You might feel like you've been through something. But I want you to know that there's hope. I pray that you're encouraged tonight, that you know there's hope. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I feel that right there. Come on, somebody got to grab hold of that. I want you, no matter what it looks like, there's hope. Man, He's the problem solver. But you got to reach out, you got to touch Jesus. So here He was, here's Jesus. And here was this good Samaritan, the guy that was the ruler. He was a leader, he was a ruler. But he needed to find someone that was ruling greater than he was. There's sometimes I want you to know that God lets us rule our lives and do what we want. God steps back and let us do what we do. But how's that get us sometimes? But here was this man here, and he was desperate to touch Jesus because of the issue that his daughter had. And he was reaching to get hold of Jesus, and that lady got in the way. And easily we can become offended at God because maybe somebody else has got their prayers answered before you have. I'm just preaching to somebody else, I guess. You get what I'm saying here? Because there's some prayers that I've prayed and I've watched God do it for somebody else and He didn't do it for me. Lord, listen, I don't know if you see my time clock up, but I put some time in praying and I'm going to send it back to you because maybe you didn't see it or not. But God, Lord, this got to be answered, God. I really need you. And there's sometimes where there grows an offense sometimes in us that we might be offended at God because maybe our prayers aren't answered. But this guy stood in the midst of it even though he had a reason to be offended in his own flesh. But he wasn't offended. He stood back and Jesus touched that young girl and he watched. If he could do it for her, he could do it for him. So he stood there and he went and he found out, he got news that his daughter died. And he was leaving in a place. He said, Jesus, don't go. You don't have to go because she's dead. Oh. And Jesus says, believe. He said, just believe. And he went with him. He walked with him. He went back to the house, to the place where this is all taking place. And this is what I want to get to the point to. This is what I want you to get to. Because I want you to see that you're one step, a doorway from getting what God, what you've longed for, what was in your heart. Come on, amen. One step away from it. And I want you to know the enemy will do everything to bring confusion. Come on. Derision, whatever it is. Come on. To get you out of a place where that you're not blessing God, where you're not coming and walking with Him. And this is what happened. And it says, and he told his disciples, he only took three of them. Come on. Sometimes you got to take your closest ones, the ones that are going to push you, the ones that are going to believe in you, the ones that are going to say, come on, we got this. Amen. He took James, John, and Peter. Amen. And it says, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth there was turmoil, there was confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Come on. Tell someone He's not the author of it. Amen. We got to get the sign back up, Randy. He says, and he cometh to the house of... Listen, I know some of you might not have been in a church where that we participate, but we participate. Amen. I'm not the only preacher. Come on, amen. I'm not the only preacher. This ain't a one-man band. This is all of us preaching together. Amen. Come on, I want you to feel that anointing flowing through you like it's flowing through me. And he says, and he cometh to the house of the ruler in the synagogue, and he seeth the confusion that was there. And he said to them, he wept, they wept and they wailed. They were crying. They were in oppression. I want you to know the joy's in the house. Come on, amen. It's right there. Come on, amen. It was right there, and all they had to do was touch it. But they were choosing to be mourning instead of joyful. Even though in our minds, I have every right to be sad, because there's a death that was in the house. But Jesus is not under any timeline. He's not controlled by those things. We serve a God that's greater. Come on, amen. And so he said to them, this is what he did. He says, and when he saw what was coming to the house, he says, why are you guys weeping? He says, and a damsel was dead. And he says, she sleeps. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laughed at him. They laughed. I want you to know that sometimes we might hear a word and you might laugh at it. You might think, that's not for me. I want you to know that the moment we take that, that's what we accept and that's what it'll be. But the moment I say, I accept that and I take it by faith, as small as a mustard seed, that is going to grow, hallelujah, in my life. And this is what happened. It says, and they laughed in scorn. And he says, but Jesus put them out. You got to get excited about this, because I want you to know that there's some things that we just got to put out. The moment it tries to get in your life, you got to put it out. Whatever there's doubt, whatever that we're thinking about God, that he's not big enough to solve the problem that you have, you got to put it out. Tell someone we got to put it out. You got to put it out and you got to shut the door. Tell someone I'm going to shut the door. And it ain't coming back in. Hallelujah. We need to declare it and say, you're not invited here no more. You can't come here no more. I'm not making space for you no more. You're not going to get comfortable in my house no more. I'm going to point at you. You are welcome in my house, baby. She's like... But we tell the enemy or our thoughts or whatever those things are, you're not welcome here no more. Hallelujah. You're not welcome here no more. And we need to begin to sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into the Word. Amen. John 13. So take that for somebody. Somebody got that? You want it? There it is. Amen. Hallelujah. I know a lot of our service, this has been in my heart, is a hunger, getting a hunger for God. Having a hunger for God. I want you to know that every Friday night that we come here, we're praying for hunger. So if you don't got a hunger, I want you to get ready, because it's going to be poured out on you. I'm telling you, you're going to get a hunger for God like you've never had for God in your life. Something's going to overwhelm you. Hallelujah. I'm speaking right now. I want you to hear that. Something's going to overwhelm you. That fire that you had once before is going to be greater. There's going to be a hunger. Because I want you to know, because a lot of disappointments, a lot of things that we let get in our way, come on, cause us to become satisfied in other things instead of Him. And I want you to know a hunger's coming. Tell someone a hunger's coming. Amen. John 13, 1. And this is what it says. It says, and now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and unto the Father. Now, there's a couple things here I want you to get here. I want you to take hold of this, because there is so much going on. I could spend a lot of time here. You believe that? Pastor, I could take an hour on this one verse, but I'm not going to do it. But I am going to say this, that there's a painting, I'm going to let you know, by an 1800s painter that has a picture of Jesus washing the feet of Peter. And it's amazing. His name's Maddox Brown. And he painted this picture. And in this picture, it's not like you just look at it and you see it. But when you begin to look at this picture, there's so much in this picture that just amazes me. Because in the one picture, when you get the story and you understand what's happening here, that remember, Peter is the one that said, Father, he says, I really don't want you to do that because you're serving me and I want to serve you. And Jesus says, unless you let me do this to you, he says, you can't be my partner. He says, do whatever you got to do, Jesus. And Jesus began to wash his feet. But while Jesus was washing his feet, you look in the background and here's his other disciples and they're all getting ready to take off their sandals. But then in the background, there's another man that I assume it's Judas. And Judas is holding on to his head with a look of disappointment. While Jesus is presenting himself to them, he's sitting in a place of disappointment and somberness. And that began to speak to my heart because Jesus is present, hallelujah, to serve you. And then when you hear that, the moment you hear it, you say, no, I got to serve him. I want you to know, and I want you to see by the end of this, I hope that it changes your thinking. Because it's more than that. There's something greater and deeper that's going on. There's something eternal that's happening. There's something about life that he's giving right here. It's more than that. It's about right now. It's me taking a hold of it right now and applying it to my life and watching my life become abundant, thrive. And this is what Jesus did. And I want you to see this. Janie, look, this moment when Jesus was at the end of his ministry. His moment at the end of time right here. It says that he was coming to the end of the days. Why? Because he knew he was being betrayed by one of his closest people in his life. Judas. He was about ready to betray him. And I want you to see, this is the reaction that Jesus had. I want you to think of your last days. How would you react when you know that you didn't do nothing wrong? You're not sick. But you know this is the end of your days, that it's about ready to end. How would you react? Give me his address. But Jesus, you're my defender. You defend me. He's showing us how the Father will defend you. Even though it looks impossible, make your way. So here's Jesus, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of things here that I want to bring out in this. And there's something for everybody. Say there's something for everybody. If there's not, I'm not sorry, because I know there is. And it's, he says, and before the feast, he says, was come, he should depart out of this world and unto the Father. He says that in the flesh, that he was leaving in the flesh. Say in the flesh. Come on, he was leaving one dimension to another dimension. Tell someone he's here. Thank you, Jesus. And he says, and having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I want you to hear that. That's covenant. He said that those that were with him, he loved them unto the end. Now we know one of them disappointed him. More than one of them did. We know that Peter was going to disappoint him. We knew that Judas disappointed him. All these things, that they would disappoint them even in themselves. But Jesus said he loved them to the end. I hope that encourages you, because it doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what you've been through. He will love you to the end. Not everybody can say that. And I want you to know that not everybody will love you to the end, but he will. I want you to get that. I want you to take hold of that. I want you to know that even the closest people in your life, I'm not prophesying something, but I'm saying it's unfortunate things happen and people get in the flesh, people get offended, but I want you to know that Jesus will not stop loving you all the way to the end. That is the promise. And he said that he loved them to the end. Even when they disappointed him, when they failed him, when they didn't do what was right, he loved them. And it says, he says, and we looked at that, and can you look up 1 Thessalonians 5:18? And this is what we shared Wednesday, but I want to, because that's really in my heart. And this is as we go, he says, and the supper being ended, here it is, in everything. Say in everything. What does it say? In everything. Now we got to get this in our hearts. In everything, give thanks. See, this is what Jesus taught us. I want you to hear this and take hold of it. It doesn't say for everything. Because there's some situations that I'm not thankful for. But I'm learning to be thankful in them. See, Jesus wasn't thankful for these disappointments of ones that would betray him, but he was thankful in it. Because we're talking about transformation. We're talking about God defending you where you can't defend yourself. It's in everything. It begins to walk, you begin to walk in your faith like Joseph, where Joseph was sold into slavery. He wasn't thankful because he was rejected, but he was thankful in it. And every step that he went, rejection after rejection, he kept being thankful in it. And at the end, God defended him. So many times, we're not thankful in it. And we lose out of God defending us. Listen. And he says, and the supper had ended, and the devil, say the devil. Woo! So you, when I hear that, I like that name. But this is what Jesus did. See, Jesus doesn't react the way we do sometimes. Because sometimes the devil might, we might get in a place where that we feel threatened by him. But he has no power. Tell someone he has no power. I am blood bought. Come on, I am delivered and I'm a child of God. He has no power. And Jesus showed his disciples, this is how you deal with it. He showed us right here, and this is what Jesus, come on, say, what did Jesus do? This is what he did. You ready? He says, his supper ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon, the son, to betray him. This is what Jesus did. You ready for this? This is how you deal with it. Next verse, Jesus knowing, it's like it never happened. See, I want you to know this. The enemy will throw a wrench in. He will try to cause confusion. Come on. He will try to get you to think about the betrayal, trying to think about what has happened to you, all the disappointments. Come on. The things that are going on. But Jesus, hallelujah, he didn't deal with that. He said this. He began to think about and declare who he was. Come on. Where he came from and where he was going. He was certain. He is speaking about purpose. Because the enemy wants to derail your purpose. But in everything, give thanks. Because God's got this. See, if they would have known, hallelujah, if they would have known that God was behind the scenes doing something that they had no idea of, they would have never taken him to the cross. But in everything, give thanks. Jesus wasn't going to get worked up about it. Because he knew this is how you deal with it. When you know who you are. When you know where you're from. And when you know where you're going, hallelujah, you will not be disappointed. And every time the enemy tries to remind you of something else, you need to put them out. Tell someone you got to put them out. And you got to remind yourself who I am, where I'm from, and where I'm going. Hallelujah. I am a child of the Most High. And that's how Jesus dealt with betrayal. So many times betrayal will stop you in your tracks. Feeling like God betrays you. Feeling like someone betrays you. Feeling like this or that. I want you to know you need to stop. Tell someone you need to stop. Come on, you need to stop because you need to move on with life. You need to move on with purpose. And Jesus says, this is purpose. This is power. Here it comes. And he says, and Jesus knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he was come from God and he went to God. I love that. Shoo. He said, he rose from the table and he laid aside his garments. Now, I want you to know that here's another point where Jesus is upsetting the whole situation, the whole thing. Jesus always did things outside of the custom, the order. He did things, come on, amen, from the heavenly and not from the earthly perspective. Come on, amen. And I want you to know that his ways are higher than my ways. That's why I need to keep in contact with him. Because my ways aren't high like his high ways. Come on, amen. Come on, we begin to get into lower places because of the world, because of the cycle, because of things that go on, because daily living. Tell someone daily living. Come on, sometimes it's hard. Tell someone it's hard. That's why we got to keep in contact with him. Amen? Come on. We got to keep flowing in that anointing. We can't get out of that anointing. We can't get out of that place of fellowship. And it says, let me get back here. He says, and Jesus went up. He said, but I want to deal with verse 2 again. I want you to see this. But Jesus was betraying Jesus. And this really caught me. This really jumped out at me. And it made me begin to think. Sometimes we get on Judas, but I want you to know that sometimes some things we betray Jesus with our relationship with. I want you, that sounds hard, but sometimes we need to judge ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and say, he says, what am I selling? What am I betraying Jesus for? What am I, my relationship that I have with him, what am I betraying for not me not to have it? Is it time? Come on, is it job? Is it work? Is it money? Is it whatever those things? It was money with him and it was only $200. Less than that. It was a little over $100. I mean, it was a lot of money then, but really, what value is losing my relationship with him? There's nothing greater than my relationship with him. And he sold his relationship for just a few cents. Just a few dollars. And I asked God, I said, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to sell out my relationship, my time that I spend with you. Those moments that you ask for me to spend with you, that I can be strengthened. Hallelujah. That I can be stronger. Why would I sell out that? But we do. And he says, Jesus, and he rose from the table. He says he got up from that place.
And, hang on. I got to get a drink.
I'm going to share this part because I feel it's important. Because I'm going to free some people from this because I feel it. Sometimes I want to move on to things, but I can't. And this is what it is. Judas was self-destructive. I want you to understand there was nothing that Jesus could do. He was self-determined and destructive in his own ways. What did Jesus do? He loved them. And it was his decision to self-destruct. I want you to know, and I want to release you, that sometimes you've spent so much time on people that are self-destructive. And I want to release you from that because it's not your burden to do it. But you're called just to love them. I want you to know that Jesus did the one thing that if you were a businessman, you would say, what is Jesus? Is he foolish? Because Judas was stealing from him and Jesus knew it. But Jesus kept him in that place. He didn't correct him. He didn't deal with it. He let it go on. Do you know why? Because he loved them through it. Because he was going to love him and have him choose whether or not he was going to sell out his relationship or he was going to love him. And he chose not to. It wasn't about the money because Jesus says it was bigger than that. He says, whatever it is, didn't matter. I'm going to do what I need to do. I want you to know that there's some things or some people that we have followed and we've tried and we've prayed and it's wore you down and it's beaten you down. I want you to know, I want to release you tonight. Stop. Come on, amen. Just stop. Hallelujah. It's not your burden to carry. Come on, amen. It's not your burden to carry. We do what Jesus did. He just loved them through it. There's sometimes that we are trying to carry other people's burdens, other people's pains. I want you to know we pray for them. Come on, amen. You come on a Friday night and you lay it before him because you can't defend them. Only he can. You can't change their mind. Only he can. Come on, amen. I want you to hear that. Only God can do that. So here he was. He says, and he came to that place and he says that it's self-destructive. Nobody loved Judas like Jesus did. The other thing is as much as you're sitting under preaching, someone preaching at you, come on, amen. As much as you sit in a place where you're being preached to of the message, of the word, it doesn't do anything unless you apply it, unless you put it in your heart, unless you take it and you let it work for you, because it won't work. Here's what I mean. Judas was 3 years walking with Jesus, hearing every word that he spoke. Jesus in the flesh experienced every miracle. Watched him walk on the water. But he didn't apply it in his heart. God, I want to apply your word. I want to apply who you are in my life. I don't want to let go this moment in my life and not take hold of all that you are for me. And all that you want to do for me, all that you want to do through me, All that you want me to experience in this moment, in this time, not some other day, but right here, right now. It's not enough. It's not about information, but it's about transformation. It's not about information, but he wasn't willing to let Jesus transform his heart. We have to let him transform. We want Jesus in our world, but Jesus wants to transform our world. The other thing was, the heart follows the wallet. That's tough. I began to think about that. And I want you to know that he was stealing what was God's. Man, that really arrested me today. He was stealing what was God's. And I said, God, Lord, I don't want to steal from you. I don't want to steal from you. I don't want to steal from you, from what you've given to me, God, Lord. I want my life to give back to you. I want my life. I want to give everything back to you, God. Whatever happens after that, hallelujah, is just a blessing. But God, I want to give it back to you. It's not about those things. It's not about that money. It's not about those other things. But it's about you. And that's where his heart is. He says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So God, help us. Come on, amen. God, help us. The other thing that I thought about was that I want you to hear this and know this, that no matter where you're at, there's weeds and tares. They're growing. Even in this house, there's weeds and tares. I don't want to be a tare. I want to be a wheat. I want to be an offering unto God. But no matter where you are, do you know why? I want you to know, because in the midst of those weeds and tares, it will make you who you are if you let it. There was tares in Joseph's house. It was his brothers. Come on, amen. There was tares in Egypt with Moses. There's tares no matter where you go, no matter what. I'm here to tell you, there's disappointment around us. There's things, there's people that will betray you. There's people that will disappoint you. They will hurt you. And they grow together. But I want you to know, he's in charge. Come on, amen. He's in charge. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody thank him. He says, and I'm going to skip that next one. He says, maybe some other time. He says, and he rose up from the supper table. He rose up and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel. I want you to see this and understand that Jesus left the throne room. Come on. He left heaven for earth. And then he left his seat for the floor. See, it was going the wrong way. We're always like, I'm going. What's that song called? What's that one? What's that? Jefferson's, how's it go? Going on up. Whatever. Okay, so I'm going up. I'm going up the ladder. We want to go up the ladder. Come on, amen. Yo, come on. You know what I'm talking about. You want to get up the ladder. You want to get above everybody else. But Jesus went from heaven to earth, from the seat to the floor. He don't do things the way the world tells us we need to do things. He's not in that cycle. And I want you to know that's why he's full of joy. That's why he has peace. That's who he is. Because he doesn't move that way. He moves out of heaven. He moves from this place. And he went from this place and he exchanged his garment. He took his garment off. He was naked. He was in his undies. I want you to know that every one of his disciples were probably like, what is going on? You're our king. He's exposing who he was in front of everybody. I want you to know, listen, we hide a lot of things. He wasn't hiding. It's hard to hide things sometimes. Come on, I know we hide things. We don't let everybody in. But Jesus was willing to show himself, to show them that you can show yourself to me. I'm still going to love you. I'm not going to give up on you. And he was naked at that place and they were all sitting there. I want you to know that he did what nobody else was doing. And it was custom. It was a thing to do that when they come into the house, when they came there, that you washed their feet. They traveled. They're dirty. They stepped on dung. No, poop. He says they stepped on it, and he says, and they smelled, and some of their feet smelled, and it was kind of offensive. It was dirty. But every one of these disciples who were, they were jockeying up the ladder to get to the high place. None of them were willing to be at a place where they say no. Because why? Because the least was to serve. The least, it was not just the servant, but it was the lowest servant that was in the house was to wash the feet. I want you to know that he was offending some of his people, some of his disciples. They were standing there saying, what is this? This isn't what we're used to. He was taking them out of a place where that they were used to, where they were jockeying. Remember, just before this, they were trying to find out who was the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus was saying he was putting himself at the lowest place. The lowest place. Of being a servant. Of being a servant. Amen? He says it was a different culture, a different system. The lowest ranked servant was to do it. Amen? A server provides the service. They provide a service. Jesus was providing something. I want you to get this. And he says, and he took off his towel, and he says, and after he pours the water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He says, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. His towel, he was no longer clothed. And as Jesus was washing their feet, I want you to think about this. And as I thought about this, that the Bible says that he took off his garment and washed off their dirty feet. Jesus, as I said, read this, that word jumped out at me. And God says that I took my garment and washed you clean. I want to serve you. I want to serve you, hallelujah. That's why I went to the cross, to take away your sin. To wash your feet. To wash your sin away. To wash your burdens away. Come on, amen. To remove any stain, any hurt, come on, any doubt. To remove the pain. I want to serve you and take your pain away. I want to take your dirty dishes away. I want to take your dirty laundry out of here. Wow. He bared my sin. As he washed off his feet, he put that garment back on. He took it away. He did. And he placed it on himself. Everyone in that room that was willing to receive him serving them. But I want you to know that that's where we struggle with sometimes. And I want you to get this. Because we like the power. Come on. Listen. And he says this. And he says, in the disciples' feet, and he says, he girded, he says, and he cometh to Simon Peter. He says, and Peter said to him, he says, Lord, dost thou wash thy feet? Peter's always stating the obvious. I love that about Peter. Oh, you going to wash my feet? Yeah. And he says, and Jesus answered him, and he said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not. You don't understand right now. I want you to get this. You don't understand it right now. There's some things that we don't understand right now, but we need to let Jesus defend us. We need to let him be God, and we need to step back and let him do his thing. We need to keep silent, hallelujah, and let God go before us. But sometimes, come on, I don't know about you, but I work with a lot of, and I'm a lot of younger people. Challenging. Some of them don't have the work ethic that I grew up with. That I didn't know anything else what to have. My father said, you can't go to college, so you're going to go work. Oh, every day. For the rest of your life. Yay! Wish I'd have known that, man. But listen, so here's what happened. I had a dream of being a beach bum. They told me that wasn't going to be an option. But listen, maybe someday. So here he was. We're at this place where that. Where I lost my thought. I do that sometimes. He says, "Where was I at? What was I saying?" Oh yeah, I work with guys. Yeah, listen. And these guys, and some girls, Berkeley. But these young guys that you would ask them, I said, "Hey, listen, you got to go clean that off." Why? And all the guys that work with me that know, oh boy, they're like, oh boy. Peace be still. I said, okay, what would you need to know for? Well, why am I doing it? I'm not just going to do it to do it. Really? But that's kind of like what it takes place. But he's saying, well, I don't understand it. There's some things you don't understand, but there's something within us that if I don't understand, I'm not going to do it. I want you to know this with your walk with God, because I've walked with God for a lot of years that I don't understand very much. I don't. But here's what happens. When I don't understand, the more that I seek Him, the answers He gives me might not be the answers that I'm looking for, but whatever He gives me is enough. I'm telling you that it settles within me and it helps me. So he's saying, Peter, shut up. You know he wants to say that. He just doesn't. He's Jesus. He says, and Jesus said to him, he says, what do I do? He says, you know it's not now. He says, but thou, that's why they make these words look funny like this, because they really did say shut up. But thou knowest hereafter, you're going to know later. You're going to know why I'm doing this. He says, and Peter said to him, he says, thou shalt never. I don't know about you, but I've said never to God a few times. I would never be a pastor. He's got a sense of humor. I will never preach at a church that looks like a church. I'm not only going to make you be a pastor in a church that looks like a church, but I'm going to put you in the center of town. Gotcha. But he said never. How many of you guys know how long never is? I'm going to tell you, it's one verse. That's how long never is to Peter. I want you to know that Peter's always right the second time. Every time you follow Peter, he's always right the second time. Kind of like me, I'm like that too. I guarantee I'm right the second time. And he says, you're never going to do that. And Jesus says this immediately. He says, if I don't wash your feet, if I don't serve, if you don't let me serve you, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my disciple. And immediately, this is what he said. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, don't only do my feet, but do my whole head. Get every crevice. Do everything, God. Here it is. Peter's getting undressed. Jesus says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just said the feet. You know that happened, but it's... And he says, Peter said to me, he says, not only my feet, he says, but do my hands, do my head, do everything. I want you to know that sometimes we negotiate with God how He serves you. Father, this is how I want you to do it. I want a warm bed to get into. Shower at this temperature in the car, 72 degrees. That's what we do, negotiate with God. And Jesus said this. 9:10. Jesus said to him, he says, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. Not just his feet, he says, but clean everywhere. He says, and you are clean, but not all. He was talking about some of the ones that weren't willing to let him serve. If you're willing to let me serve you, you'll be clean. If you're letting me, I want you to hear this and understand what this means. It means that, listen, if you're willing to be washed by the Word, come in my relationship, come with me, let me speak to you, let me wash you by the washing of the Word, let me speak to your hearts, give me the opportunity, come on, to wash you, come on, to serve you. I want you to know that tonight right here, I feel the honor of giving a word that God wants to serve you. Every time that I come here, I feel that place that God wants to serve you. That's who He is. I want you to know that that's why I'm so in love with Him. Because He first loved me. See, that's the reality of it. I think I love Him, but I want you to know the greatest... I remember the first reality and the first revelation that I really had was that how much I loved Jesus. I was like over the moon for Him. But you know what really overwhelmed me more than anything else? This is one of the greatest revelations that I can remember that really sets me, really turns me, made me the pastor who I am, is that He says, I don't just love you. He says, but for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So I want you to know that I took hold of it for me and I loved it. It was great. But when I realized how much He loves you, oh, I want you to know it opened me up and made me realize how big He was. That it wasn't just about me. So here He was, He's serving these disciples, He's washing their feet, and every one of them is getting ready. And they're like, Lord, do me next, Lord. And He says, and Jesus said to him, He says, for in verse 11, He says, for He knew who should betray Him. He knew who it was. And He washed Him, He served Him anyways. Wow. He says, He served His enemies. He served His enemy, knowing He was betraying Him. Knowing the destruction that He was going to face. Knowing the beatings He was going to take, the lashings that He was going to experience, the brokenness that He would feel within Him, the burdens that He would take upon Him by doing this, He washed His feet. He says, I want to serve you, Judas. I want to wash your feet. Let me serve you. God wants to serve us with all that He has. He wants to serve us in every need that we need. We need to let Him do that in every area. Don't run and hide. Let Him serve you. Let Him serve you what you need. Listen. Jesus was willing to serve. And He says that you call, He says, and so after that He washed their feet, He says, and He's taken His garments, and He was set down again. And He said unto them, He says, know ye what I've done to you? Do you understand what I've done to you? And He says, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for I'm so. So I am. He says, if I'm your Lord, if I'm your Master, He says, and have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. He says, for I've given you an example. I've given you a copy, a diagram, a map to show you the way. And He says, do this. Do the same thing. I think that's the most powerful thing. See, because I want you to know, unless I'm not willing to let Him serve me, I can never serve you. Unless I won't know how to do it. See, I want you to know that when I let Him serve me and I experience His love, because I don't know how to love. I don't know how to receive joy sometimes. I don't know how to do all these things. I don't know how to do what I need to do what's right. But He sets an example for me. And He says, let me serve you. I will make for you what you need. Everything. I'll put it all in there. I provided it all. And now I want you to take it. For God so loved the world that He gave, He served His Son. He said, take from me. Eat from me. This is my body. This is my body. This is my blood. Hallelujah. Drink this. Hallelujah. Do this in remembrance of me. I did this and I served you so that you could have life. So that you could be full. So that you can experience abundance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. And out of the midst of that, Hallelujah. I want you to know, out of the midst of that, we can understand what it means to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. Because we have a light fire burning within us. Hallelujah. Because we know what it is. Hallelujah. To be blessed. We know what it is to be loved. Hallelujah. We know what it is to have our sins washed away, our burdens be taken away, because we let Him serve us. We let Him provide for us. We let Him defend for us. And out of the midst of that, there's something that overwhelms me to love unconditionally. To never stop. To never quit. Why? Because He loved to the end. He never stopped. And He wants you to. Would you stand to your feet? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Anybody needs prayer, I want you to come. Hallelujah. I want you to just lift up your hands. Come on and just sing this song. Your love defends me, Lord.
Surely my God is the strength of my soul.
Yes.
Your love defends me.
Let His love defend you.
Your love defends
me. Let it fight your battles. My God defends me.
Your love defends
me.
Your love defends me.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Lord, I receive what you are serving to me. Hallelujah. I receive it, God. I receive it, God. I pray to God, Lord, as you show me and as you put things in my heart, Lord, that I don't try to understand it, but I just receive it. Hallelujah. Without doubt, without fear, but I receive it and I take hold of it and I stand on it and I let you go before me. And I'll give you the glory. I'll give you the honor. Hallelujah. And I will declare that I am. In Jesus' name, I want you to bless somebody, hug on somebody, go serve somebody in Jesus' name. Serve Him in Jesus' name. Bless somebody. Tell them how great they are. Hallelujah. Tell them how mighty they are. Yeah.